Wednesday night soaking Bible study service. I'm going to finish what I started last week. Let us ask for the old ways of the Lord. Let us ask for the old ways of the Lord. I welcome you to the podcast and I thank you for joining us. I pray this message be a blessing to you. I will recap from last week and then we'll continue on. But we will take our scripture in the context from Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16 out of the New American Standard Bible. Verse 16 reads in this wise, "Thus saith the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." Go with me now to Hebrews 4:14-16. Hebrews 4:14-16. I'm going to read this out of the Berean Studying Bible. So verse 14 says, "Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we profess." Let us hold firmly to what we profess. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin." Here we go, verse 16. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that it is the very substance that we need for our soul, spirit, and mind to become one with the mind of Christ. So we thank you for it now. Let it penetrate our heart. Let it penetrate our soul. Let it bear fruit in its time and its season. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Well, last week I began to minister out of this scripture and I began to tell you, let us ask for the ancient paths, the ancient ways. How I got this message last week, I told you I was driving to go pick up Josh from work, and there was this Ford, I don't know what year was it, Pope, I said, early 50s. I was not even thought of in Mama's mind, but when I saw this truck, I knew there was something to it, because it was not a truck that was just left alone without being taken care of. There was a whole new paint job to it, and it had the metallic, you know, the stuff that shines, like, ooh, catches your eye. You know, when you got that bling bling going on, people look at you like, dang. But when I saw that truck, that thing was shining at me, I said, ooh, that's nice. Well, that's real nice. So I started taking real close attention to it, Mama. I said, I likes me that truck. It had these nice tires and nice rims on it. You know those rims that make you say, woo. For some of you women in here that like those shoes, you know, when you put your shoes on, you have people looking down at your shoes. And you want to make sure, you take a look at my shoes. You know what I'm talking about? You know, when you got those Jimmy Choos on, you want people to know you got Jimmy Choos on. All right, if you got the Adidas that is flying, kicking, you know, you ain't. Come on now, come on, right? See, you want people to look at my Adidas. If you're back in the old school, you had those, that big old tongue sticking out. I'm talking about in the shoe. Yeah, people know you had some Adidas on. But you see, when I saw the tires, I said, those are not the originals. The original tires are skinny. These were big, low profile. That when you saw the rims, you know, though, they spent some money just on the rims. But then when he started revving up the engine, I said, "Ooh!" It went, "Ooh!" I said, "I feel the Holy Ghost." I looked over at that truck and I said, "Man, Flowmaster, you know those double pipes coming out? That's not how it originally was." Uh-oh. And then, to top it all off, you could hear the stereo.
so clear and crisp that even when the bass line hit and whatever song he was listening to, I could feel it in my car. I said, that's not the stereo that comes in that truck. So I happened to peek inside like this. Got that steering wheel that was made out of, well, you know, the chain link, you know, back in the day, you know, low rider style. And then the stereo had the flip screen on it. I said, that's not the way it came, because, you know, back in the day it was AM only. Oh, come on now, come on. It didn't even, you know, it didn't even have no cassette back in the 50s. Maybe 8-track if you... Now, that was later on. They went on 50s. They had AM. 55 KTSA. Or what was it? Kono. They probably listen. You know, back in the Sunday stroll with the Kono. You know, that's probably what they had. But that's not what he was driving. So he made it look the way he wanted it to look for today. But he preserved that truck so that he could do it. I know that motor was not the original motor. Because the way that he took off, I stood at the light just looking at it. Man, that was nice. So when the Lord prompted me, he says, you know, many times we want to change the way things are from the old and make it new to fit what we want. But some things are better left untouched. And that's when the Lord told me, he says, ask for the ancient ways, my ways. I'm never changing. I said, wait a minute. So when I started reading this, and that's when I read that scripture. And I said, Lord, I want to make sure that what I'm reading is you from Jeremiah. He says, in verse 16 of Jeremiah 6, he says, stand by the ways. He says, really, he says, stand at the crossroads. Jeremiah 6, 16 and 17. It says this. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Verse 17 says, I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. Well, are we willing to listen to what God is doing, what he's saying, and what we are to do? That he has to appoint watchmen over you because you have a tendency to do things your way. And that wasn't the way that God intended for us. Remember, I was talking about how I'm going to have 15 screens back here just so I can have all this nice looking stuff behind me as I'm ministering, you know, kind of like this, but like 15 of them just looks good, doesn't it? Look at that green light. Make sure that the camera is running the right angle. He says, if you just preach Jesus and you preach salvation and you preach that the kingdom of heaven is here, these things will happen. What things will happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because today what I want to share with you is what I believe that the Lord is saying in this very hour. We are to be the church. Back in the day when people knew what to do. See, demoniac come into the church. Oh my God, they're all
stinking.
Sit them in the back. And then you have everybody else move. Day, he says, bring him to the front. Get him here. We don't have to wait till the end of the service and wait till we do an altar call. Get him here. Let's deal with this now. So that they can receive the message of salvation. But let's deal with the demon now. Or how about someone that has an issue that they've been dealing with for so long that they spent all that they could spend, everything that they had, that they're at their last wits, and they come into a church, they're looking for someone that is able to do something that nobody else could do. Well, who is that? That's Christ. That's Jesus himself. We need to be that church. We as a whole. Not what sign is outside the building. Not what denomination you are. Not what rituals you perform. God forbid if you're doing the blood rituals. I'm talking about doing what God instituted in the church to do. It's to deal with the people. Amen? Proverbs 4:18 through 19. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. We have to be like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. But if we're not walking in the path that he's called us to walk in, your sun isn't going to shine. Your light's not going to be bright. We got to be careful. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. We must know and boldly profess that he is our Lord. Not by our own abilities that we can do things, but by what he has already given us to do. He is the God by himself that will supply all of our needs. He is the God himself that can heal us. He is the very God that can change and transform us, and we must acknowledge him. Psalm 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. The revelation of the pathway is found in Jesus. He is the door, but he is also the way. The Lord will not lead us up the garden path. How many times has God led you into a storm? Yeah, you look at me, well, God don't do that. Well, he told the disciples to get in the boat. And then a storm arose. Matter of fact, it says a tempest. Very strong. Will he lead you into a storm? Will he lead you in a storm? Have you been in a storm? Have you been in a place where you don't know how you're going to get out? Have you been in a place that don't even understand why you're there? And you just don't know. You just don't know. But that's the God that if he's leading you, he'll guide you through it. All the way through it. He will lead you into the right path. The key is being abandoned to the purpose of God as found in Jesus. Putting aside our desire for power and gifting, but walking in his. The Lord will never lead us away from the ancient paths. Our self nature, which seeks for power and for the wrong reason, will lead us astray. But a humble and abandonment to the master and his purpose will release the supernatural pathways of God. How many of you want to be sold out to God? Okay, the two of you, I'll minister to you. That's the two of you. It's okay. It's all right. See, the thing is that we have to really want him. But we don't want him just when things are going bad, do we? We should want him when things are going good. We should always want Christ to be in the very midst of us, right? We should have such a hunger for him that nothing is going to satisfy our hunger. Our thirst. We should be in the very presence of God that whatever is coming your way, whatever you've been in, whatever you've been going through, know that he is right there with you. Right? We're like, yeah, we got that. We Christians, we know. But when it really gets tough, we get mad. Well, and then when we really get frustrated, we ain't got no more nails left. We done bit them all off. And if you're like a certain someone when they got a little bit of chip polished nails, they just take it all the way off and you, in the church service. Next thing you know, you got polish all over the floor. I said, Lord, what is all this? He goes, they're nervous. They being nervous. Ain't nothing to be nervous about. He says, then why is your hair falling out? Why you gotta go over there, God? I was just kidding. He says, the problem is we know how to quote so many scriptures, but we don't know how to live them out. Because we want to make it so that it fits us today as opposed to how it was intended to be. Well, if I just name and proclaim, it's going to be mine. How many times we did that to all these kind of businesses? Look, that's that building right there. Let's go pray. Let's go call everybody, get together, and we're going to go lay hands on it, and we're going to claim it in Jesus' name, and it's going to be ours. Next thing you know, that for lease sign went down, the for sale sign went down, somebody else already occupied. You're like, Lord, why? I already prayed and everything. It's mine. So then we walk away saying, well, you did. We blessed it for them. That's why. You know how we do? We go through that and say, I'm going to go lay hands. That's my building right there. That's going to be my church. Father, in the name of Jesus, I profess in the name of Jesus that this is my building for your glory. Lord, you want to have your way in this place. I name it. Is it to be mine now in Jesus' name? Amen. Landlord, come out. What you doing? I was just praying for this. But, oh, we already sold it. Come on, you know, you activate your faith, right? We go and do it. Shoot. How many houses y'all done that to? Come on, raise your hands. Come on, raise your hands. How many houses y'all done that to? Yeah, and you go outside your budget to do it too. I know we only afford $250,000 home, but we're going to go look for the $500,000, $600,000. Because God's going to supply all my needs. Thank you. But Lord, I know it's a 5-bedroom house. I will house folks in here. Okay, maybe not. Well, one of them be my study. The other one we'll make into a studio. You know how we start switching things up? Well, you know, we got to have a pool in the backyard for the baptisms. See, we start coming. Am I the only one that does that? I went into a $1 million home, started naming and proclaiming, and said, I'm getting this whole house and the furniture. Come on. If you're going to dream, you're going to dream big, right? But when that dream don't come to pass, don't be getting all salty with God now. Well, how come you didn't give it to me? Did you get a job? So that you can maintain it? You can pay the taxes on it, get the insurance on it, and if you got a pool in the backyard, you better have insurance because someone's going to sue you. Yo. Oh, yeah, so the Lord done shut me down real quick. He says, you just walk in my path, and then when I lead you to a place, you don't even have to say a word. You just walk in it, and it'll happen. Matter of fact, some jobs that you guys have been looking for, they're just going to call you. They're going to call you. And some of the honeys, no, you know, not the honey like the hunt, you know. No, I'm talking about spouses. Commitment. All right, okay. It's getting there. Well. I'm going to get all nice and pretty. Maybe he's going to look my way. How about you just keep walking on the path that God told you to be in? You walk right into your man. But if you want to keep looking for the joker that you've always been looking for, when God said you should have cut that one loose to begin with, you ain't going to get anywhere near your Boaz. Because you're still the same person. And maybe Boaz is the one that said, don't bring me anybody that's messy. And you wonder why you ain't found anybody yet. But that goes for men and women. Don't get mad at Pastor. I'm just trying to tell you. I done gone through all kinds of stuff. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. This walk on this path, it's narrow. I look around sometimes, Lord, and there ain't hardly anybody on this path. But if I look to my left, it's, hey, what's up, brother? And if I look to my right, sister, so-and-so, what you doing? But this path is long lane. Not everybody's on that path. But I'm going to keep walking on that path. Because if I keep walking on that path that he's ordained for me, I can find rest. Because I don't want to be the one that says, God, this is the path I'm supposed to walk on. I don't want it. How many of us have been there? This is the path we're supposed to walk. We know it's hard. Uh-uh. Mm-mm. It's too hard. It's too hard, God. What do you mean? I got to pray and fast for 21 days. Fast? I'll eat fast if you want me to eat fast, but... Fast, give up something I enjoy. What? We try all these kind of things to make the old become palatable for our new. Right? Remember, I said, what if we brought the elders of the church in the book of Acts into the church of today? I'm entitled. You're entitled to nothing. When I said what the first job in the church is, we've heard it many times. How many of you heard it? What's the first job in the church? Clean the toilets. What you talking about? You dead bucky. And they didn't have Fabuloso back in the day. Ajax. We're talking about Ajax. Bleach. You can put that bleach on there. Everything splatter on you. But you know what I'm talking about is that we want to make things from the old fit our new, and we make changes so it'll fit us the way we desire it. And we're not to do that. How many of us would be willing to die for Jesus? Yeah, right now, like, yeah. Yeah. Wait a minute, what I got to go through? Here comes the disclaimer to your acknowledgement, isn't it? Yes, I'll die for you, Jesus, but let me get to 100. Right? What if I'm going to be sold out for Jesus on Sundays only? From 10 to 12. And when pastor goes over, I got to go. Now he's talking about moving church, go to another place, and maybe what if I don't like it? Time for me to leave church. Go and get someplace else now. Because I don't like the way Josh is playing. Josh just, he still strums the same way, and then he don't even play like he used to play. I don't feel the anointment on him. You know how church folk get that way. They start making all kinds of excuses. But the reality is, if you need to stay on that path, stay on that path. It's not easy. But when you stay on that path, he'll give you that rest. I want to be sold out for Christ. Amen. Hallelujahs. Apart from him, nothing else should ever have any value in your eyes more than him. Isn't that something? Jesus, I love you so much. I love you more than my wife. Okay, well, see, my wife makes good food, though. When she does my laundry, she makes the whites like white as snow. She likes to dance. She's a praiser too. You know that, God? And God's looking, would you put that kind of value and that kind of passion towards me? Wait a minute, God. It seems like it's too hard to be that intimate with you. See, and we get into a place of worship where 15 minutes is too long. If that song go on a little bit too long and it's too slow, I was resting in the Lord. No, you fell asleep. Spend some time. Become intimate. And that can happen anywhere. But there's a time where he takes you into a deeper place. He takes you out of the outer, brings you to the inner court. But then there's some moments where he takes you beyond. And he can get right at his feet.
And then he begins to reveal to you more about himself in you. I don't know about you, but I want more of him. The pathway to the miraculous and the supernatural realm of God is in the abandonment to him. The modern church has turned God into a vending machine. Prayer in, blessing out. You been to a vending machine? You put money in. Here's my prayer. Lord, I profess right now I'm going to get a promotion. And I'm going to choose what kind. And you expect the blessing to come. And then when it doesn't come, like most of us do when we get mad at the vending machine, we take it out on the vending machine. You know, have you ever had those ones that have those spirals when you press for the chips or something, and then they just kind of get stuck? You kind of nudge it a lot. Release! Okay. It's kind of like how we are with God. We go and petition God for what we want, what we desire, what we need. There's times that we do for the needs. Lord, pay these bills, because we're really going to have an intimate time in a little bit. Have candles when I pray next time. Right? Because if we don't pay the bills. So that we begin to ask and inquire more and more, he takes us into that place. But I believe that God is going to show us that there's some things that we need to do and work towards to see that we need to go back to the ancient ways. That we must always be in that path that he's ordained for us. Psalm 16:11 reads this wise. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's a beautiful psalm right there, isn't it? Let me read it again. This is real good. You will show me the path of life. Hey, amen. You're going to give me life. Give it more abundantly. You're going to show me that path. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Amen. I'm going to be happy. And then at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He's going to give me the desires of my heart. But the reality is what he's saying right here is you will show me the path of life because I'm lost. I haven't found it yet. And then he's going to say, your presence is the fullness of joy because you're not in my presence. And if you get in my presence, you'll find joy because you're a little salty because of all the things you've been going through. Things haven't been going well in your life, so you're not in my presence. You're not finding that joy. Then the next thing he says is, that at the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. But you're not at my right hand. You're still constantly doing things your way. But I want to get you the things that you desire. The ancient paths lead to supernatural pleasures in the heart of Jesus. Watch this. Habakkuk 3:17 through 18. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. That's Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18. Joy, even though we don't have anything. How many of you got that joy when you don't have anything? Huh? Yeah, you're in church, so you're like, yeah, okay, I got that. Yeah. I don't know about you, but you got beans, but you got no tortillas in the house? You can't have no bean and cheese taco. Or you can't get no bean taco. So you get a little bit upset when you go into the cupboard. You start looking for those tortillas that you knew they were there about 2 weeks ago, but they ain't there no more. You get a little upset because you ain't got what you want. Now, maybe you haven't had it that rough. Maybe you haven't had it where the only thing you had was some pasta. You couldn't make the spaghetti like you used to make. You had to deal with it just with a little bit of ragu. Ragu. All right, now sometimes you can fix up some ragu and make it taste real good. But if you ain't got the spices to add to it, all you're going to be doing is just eating that pasta like, oh, Lord.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold up now. I heard that over here. If you pour you some noodles and you put some butter and some Parmesan cheese, you got yourself spread. My God. You can feel the glory of God into the room when you start to boil that. And you know you got that butter there. It's going to clog your arteries, but you'll find joy forevermore. And when you put that cheese in there, it's going to take you over the top. But what I'm trying to tell you is even though you go through, you still rejoice. You've got to know that when you're in the presence of God, there is joy forevermore. But when you're going through, I got joy for you. Yeah, you don't want to answer anybody's texts or anybody's phone calls. And if they're emailing you, don't even open it because you know they send a return receipt just to make sure you read it. Some of y'all do that with the texts. Well, I ain't even going to open it because they're going to know I read it and I ain't going to respond right away. And then they're going to get all mad. When you're going through, you're going through. Sometimes you just don't even want to talk to anybody, including God. Why did it have to be this way? Why couldn't you have heard my prayers and answered? Why did I have to be put here? Kind of changes your tone. But in His presence is the fullness of joy. What I'm trying to encourage you is we need to get back to being in His presence. I'm not telling you that you're not. I'm not telling that you haven't. The mere fact that we keep going through. Does it seem like wave after wave something's been coming at you? I'm about tired of this rain. Well, you prayed for it. Okay, stop it. Right? Oh, Lord, send your rain. Here it comes. Okay, stop the rain. But it's been like every wave that comes you. It increases, doesn't it? Something is increasing. And you would love for it to be the increase of power, the increase of all manifestations, the increase. But it seems like everything that is coming to the body of Christ is now moving at a rapid pace. It is increasing, and it is to put pressure against the body to make the body quit. But if we can stand, embrace ourselves. Come on. Somebody been at the coast. Someone been out there in those waves. When the waves are coming at you, if you brace yourself, you can withstand the hit from that wave. And every wave that has come your way has been increasing. The momentum that is coming your way, but it's trying to push you back. But if we trust God, plant ourselves, even the very crossroads that we're at of our faith, choose His path. Choose His path. Because what is happening every time you stand, and I was out there at the beach one day. Comes that way. This coming. Get ready to come. I'm going to brace myself. Watch this. Now when the first wave came, I was ready. But what happened was it dug my heels deeper into the sand. So when the next wave came, it started getting deeper and deeper. But what happened was my heels started shifting. So any wave, if it would have come a different angle, would have knocked me over. So I had to reposition in the same place so that the wave wouldn't take me out. See, the enemy has been sending so many obstacles and so much deterrent into the body of Christ. Well, you just plant yourself. Stand firm. Trust on His word. And wait till you see the manifestation. There has been such an onslaught and demonic activity that's been going on against the people of God. And when you see that, now of course we don't like to say, oh, glory. Oh, that's glory. God's going to use it for my glory. Not when you're going through. When you're going through, it's like, Lord, enough. And the body of Christ has gotten to that point where they're saying enough is enough. Stay fixed on Him. Matthew 10, verse 1. Matthew 10, verse 1. Here's what Jesus is doing in this moment. Matthew 10, verse 1. Now the Berean
Bible says this: Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and every sickness. Matthew 10:5-8. Matthew 10:5-8. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go unto the road of the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Let me read that again. Verse 6. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Where is he sending them to? To the believers. To the Israels. Watch this. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. It is time for us as a church, regardless of what wave has been hitting us, regardless of what turmoil has come our way, regardless of what you've been standing in and believing God for, you are still to tell the people of God that the kingdom of heaven is near. What does that mean? The moment you step foot into any circumstance, all of the kingdom of heaven is inside of you, and that you have every authority to declare that that circumstance be removed. If you have something that's coming against you, don't quit. Just fix yourself, position yourself, and begin to declare into the atmosphere that your storm comes to an end, and you can quiet the wind, silence the wind, and you can put yourself in his rest. The mere fact that you're going through what you're going through is because he called you into it. But if you don't put your eyes on the horizon, you won't see him walking by. The Bible says he wasn't coming to them. He was about to pass them by. And when he saw him, who saw him? Peter saw him at a distance. Everybody got scared and said, it's a ghost. Said, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's the Lord in the storm. That's the Lord in the very midst of your storm. But he's not coming to you in the storm. You've got to see him in the storm. And when you see him in the storm, you got to know that he is there. And then you call him, is that you? And if he says, it is I, come. You've got to still respond. You got to respond. You just can't say, oh, I identified him in my storm. You have got to get out of that very thing and begin to walk without fear and trembling. Walk towards him, not away from him. Walk towards him. Run to him, because he's trying to get you to a place that you've never been. You're going to face something you've never faced before. You're going to experience something you've never had the joy to experience. You can't stop midstream. Ask for the ancient ways. If I'm in this boat, in this storm, maybe that boat has nothing to do with me. But maybe the storm has everything to do with my identity. The boat wasn't there to protect. The boat was an instrument to get them into the storm. Maybe the very thing that you're going through is to identify inside of you the faith that will come up out of you to change the circumstance in people's lives other than yourself, that will change everything when you step and say, the kingdom of God is near. Why? Because it's inside of you. You can call every demon a demon, but you're not to teach a demon. You're to cast out the demon. Get it out of your midst. Get it out of your boat. Matter of fact, get it out of the people that are still stuck in complacency, stuck in comfort, stuck in their own sin. You have got the authority to call it out. You're suffering with drugs and pornography. You're suffering with all kinds of promiscuity. Get out of your boat. Look at him. That storm, that boat, was to take you to the storm so that you could find him and recognize him, that he's been there all along.
were to let them go all the way through the storm. But one person in the boat said, "That's the Lord. That's Him. Bid me to come." When you said yes to the Lord, you said, "Bid me to come." He says, "You're going to walk on water." Great. Amen. But more importantly, when you sink, my hand will reach down and pick you back up. And immediately we will be on the other side. You have got to find them in your storm. You've got to find them in the midst of everything. And draw close to Him. These are the ancient paths. It's found at the crossroads of your faith. The crossroads of your hope. God, I don't want to go to the right, and I don't want to go to the left. Even though this path may be narrow, it may be lonely. Not everybody's walking with me. Not everybody says that they got me. But I'm going to walk anyways. If it's me by myself, I'm going to walk. And if I got to encourage myself, I'll be like David did in the midst of adversity. I will encourage myself and go get my stuff. And ain't nobody got your back. Everybody want to kill you. They tell you, "I'm going to leave you for dead. I got you. I got you." You ain't got me. God got me. I'll be with you. Ain't going to be with me. Because this road, not everybody can walk on. And if I keep on walking, I may stumble a bit. But my help is right there to keep me on that right path. I may go to the left a little bit, but I can feel my head and say, "Get back, Marty, get back." Even though I want to slip, I want to stumble, sometimes I want to jump off. I got you. I'm not a man that shall lie, or a God that shall repent. I got you. When I got you, I got you. Quit putting your faith and trust in man. Put your eyes on Jesus. In the very midst of your soul, He'll get you all the way through. And with everything you've been professing and believing God for, don't quit. I've called you to a place of greatness. I've called you a place as a servant of the Most High God. You are the handmaiden of God. But the enemy is trying to snip you out. The Bible says, "I have prayed that your faith faileth not." Let it not fail, not beloved. For He walks with you. He talks with you. You feel Him even when you say, "God, but why?" You feel Him. It's because I love you. I'll walk in the storm with you. Keep your eyes on Him. Let Him be the focus and the drive and determination. Watch what will take place. You're bringing healing, Inez, to Indiana. Restoration and healing is going to take place. Deliverance is also going to take place. Not only will there be healing of the heart, but restoration. You'll see it manifest. You're going to lay hands on one of your childhood friends, and there's going to be healing that will take place. It's not what you are declaring. It's what you are bringing, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Everything that you have desired and you felt that it hasn't come to pass, you are stepping into that very season where He is picking you up out of the depths of what you think that you are sinking in. Is about to be the greatest thing of victory that you are about to walk on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What you have suffered the most has been a lying spirit, says the Spirit of God. It has been bound now in the name of Jesus. And you will walk in the fullness. Because God has given us the authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick. And right now, I release that authority right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. I heard it. I heard it. It's being a lying spirit and a familiar spirit. You have been healed, says the Spirit of God. It's just trying to manifest your body to believe that it is.
You are healed, says the Spirit of God. You are healed. Confirmation comes in 14 days. Don't listen to the reports. He's the great physician. He is the great physician. Healing follows you. Signs and wonders follow you. Keep your eyes fixated on Jesus. Because where you feel that you're sinking, you will see His hand. You will see His hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, He's so good. He's so good. He is so good. If you're in the storm, the boat isn't your refuge. He's your refuge. If it hadn't been for Peter, that saw Christ in the storm, the others would have suffered even longer. Maybe He's selecting you to weather the storm on your own. Maybe you feel isolated, overlooked, or even set aside. But that's the very one that He's saying, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. But I first beckon you to come. You must respond. And as you respond, all the hardship, you're having problems trusting because you've been wounded, taken advantage of. Beloved, if you let it go, you will soar. You will soar. Forgive. Forgive. You've been weighed down. You've been weighed down from your heart in relationships. Matter of fact, you've been taking advantage of a lot. Money. Whew. I need a little bit of this and that. And you're always willing to help. That's your ministry. Ministry of help. You have a word of encouragement to give someone. Why did I go through so much? It brings the oil out. Your seed isn't crushed. Your faith is there. Let it go. Forgive them. Many have hurt you. Many. Forgive them. I say this right now with the precious love of Christ. If you give them to me, I'll work on them. But you'll walk in your healing. You'll walk in your healing. Cut that cord. Yeah, I saw you. Thank you. There's individuals that you're the one that's always there for. You're the one. It says you're the one that sometimes you feel like you're the enabler. The more I help, I enable. The more I do, I enable. But it's hard because there's love. There's compassion. Give them over to God. And release them to God. Let God do the work. So that you can walk in your freedom. And you can be restored. Not only that, you've been hurt in church. You've been misunderstood. Many times they say that the spirit of Jezebel operates. That's not you. That's not even the spirit. You're just cautious because of all the hurt that's taking place. Just lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands. Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, surround her. Surround her right now. Yes, Lord, drink your peace all over her right now in the name of Jesus. Let her see that as she releases the individuals right now unto you, that you grab hold of them with your loving arms, that you help them through. Because right now, Father, I thank you that you are moving right now on her behalf. In Jesus' mighty name. Peace, beloved, peace. I speak peace into your very spirit and into your soul. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the very gift that you've instilled inside of her. she is called into the very ministry of God to help, encourage. You counsel more people than you can even shake a stick at. The word is deep within inside of you. You come from a lineage of people in the church, as the Spirit of God. But you shut down the gifts. Your hands, give them to him. Utilize it, girl. Your voice is going to be heard. Your voice is going to be heard. I bless you. I bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Give the Lord a hand clap. Are we at the crossroads? We know we're going to select the right paths, aren't we not? His path. It's his path. Even though we feel like we're alone, he's right there with us. He's right.